Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to Star Wars Splash Page Comics in Review.
This is episode number 302, and I have nothing snappy to say. Hi, Jeff.
Geek me all knowing box sets stay open May 4th. I'm hoping Luke gonna be hot as before. Cause Ren looks hardcore, and I don't want Sith running the galaxy.
Hi, Matt. That was me snapping into the mic. I don't know if it read or not, but Archie certainly heard it.
And Nigel just heard me snap back.
Oh, boy. Oh, nothing snappy. So we're all just exhausted, folks. What can I tell you? It's
yeah,
August. It's hot.
Dog days of summer.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. So, Matt, we have one book to discuss. We got one book that we're going to talk about, read that we, you know, say that we read. And then we've got an omnibus that you're going to give us kind of an overview about from Dark Horse this week that they were nice enough to send over to us. But what kind of news have we got?
Well, good news if you're an omnibus fan, because that's what I've heard. That's I have heard tell that you.
I'm an omnibus man, you might say. Yes,
an omnibus man. Dr. Aphra is getting another omnibus edition.
Excellent.
It'll be collecting volume 2, issues 1 through 25. That's due in May. Not more importantly, but if you are a Legends fan, we are also getting omnibus editions of Star Wars Legends, The Empire, Volume 2, and that's coming out in May. And we're also getting New Republic, Volume 2, in July. Now, here's the interesting thing. The Legends, New Republic, Volume 2 collects Heir to the Empire, 1 through 6, Dark Force Rising, 1 through 6, The Last Command, 1 through 6, Dark Empire, 1 through 6, Dark Empire 2, 1 through 6, Empire's End 1 and 2, Boba Fett Twin Engines of Destruction number 1, Boba Fett Bounty on Barracuda number 1, Boba Fett When the Fat Lady Swings number 2, Boba Fett Murder Most Foul number 3, Boba Fett Agent of Doom number 1, Star Wars Handbook number 3, as well as material from Star Wars Tales 1, 3, 5, 10, 14, 20, and 2. So
that's a lot of comics.
That's a lot of comics. And those are, you know, this omnibus will be in demand. So the minute you get, it hits the solicitations, which would probably be later this month. As a matter of fact, I guess it's the 15th now. So we'll probably get a sneak peek at the November solicits either this week or next via StarWars.com.
It's the 17th, by the way, if folks are listening. We're recording it on the 15th.
That's true, yeah. So, and then, of course,
we're at now.
And then, of course, the Star Wars Legends, The Empire Volume 2 collects Dark Times, Fire Carrier 1 through 5, The Spark Remains 1 through 5, Darth Vader and the Ninth Assassin 1 through 5, Cry of Shadows 1 through 5, The Droids Special number 1, Droids 1 through 6, The Protocol Offensive, as well as material from Star Wars Visionaries and Star Wars Tales 11, 12, 15, 20, and Dark Horse Presents Annual 99 and Star Wars Galaxy Magazine number 1.
It's a lot of content.
Yeah, it is. It is. And of course, you know, this was first reported by a near mint condition. And, you know, that's the, if you're looking for news about comic book omnibuses, those are the people you should be following, particularly Uncanny Omar. So because I know Marvel slips, you know, lets them know in advance of what they got coming down the pike. So, you know,
do we have a price on those yet? Are those going to be like the $100?
Those will I think the Dr. Aphra one will probably be $100 because it's only 25 issues. And then the other two will probably be 125, I think. Although wow. it wouldn't surprise me if they're even 150, depending on the page count. So
it's a lot of books. It's just pricey for one collection. So
yeah, but there's so much content.
There is so much content in there. It's not that you're not getting a bang for your buck there. So
oh yeah, totally. In other news, Mark Guggenheim, who is writing Han Solo and Chewbacca, did confirm that apparently the now 10-issue maxi series was always meant to be a 10-issue series.
Sure, it was.
So, you know, he says, because in his legal dispatch newsletter, he says that, I know we were originally vague about its length, lending to the impression that it's an ongoing, but the plan has always been for 2 issues, or for 10 issues, 2 5-issue arcs. So
that's akin to Pee Wee Herman saying, I meant to do that. I'm just kidding, but you know me. I would like to say, apropos of your mentioning Dr. Aphra, I don't know if you saw Alyssa Wong announced that she's going to be writing a Deadpool book.
I saw that. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
That's going to be great. Exciting. She is such an incredible writer. So,
well, and as weird as she gets with Aphra, you can imagine how weird it's going to get with a Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, let's see. Bleeding Cool reported today that Bounty Hunters was canceled. It's not. I'm not quite sure why they did. You know, even, you know, we already told you that it was, and, you know, and the rationale of the Bleeding Cool side, it was the fact that, you know, they were nowhere to be found at the October solicits.
Because so, they're missing for 1 month. It must have been canceled. Yeah,
exactly. So, but, you know, as we have already previously told you before, Bounty Hunters and both Han Solo and Chewbacca #6 are taking October off and we'll be back in November. And even Bounty Hunters writer Ethan Sachs, you know, went on Twitter on the 15th of August to, you know, to double down saying, no, it's not canceled, particularly given the fact that he's working on issues 30 and 31 right now. So, you know, so woo, good. So if, you know, you see reports that it's been canceled, it has not. Last but not least, the War of the Bounty Hunters omnibus is now due out November 8th instead of November 1st. And the Crimson Rain trade paperback, which was due out August 30th, is now apparently due out August 23rd. All so right. next week. So that'll be nice.
Okay.
So, and that's it. That's all the news I got.
All right. Well, I think that's plenty. So before let's dive into our reviews. But first, tell us a little bit about this Star Wars Rebels omnibus that Dark Horse sent our way. It's 508 pages, so I have not read most of it, but I did skim through it.
That's understandable, and that's okay. But you know, the great thing is this collects all of the Star Wars Rebels comics that were previously only really available in Europe and Australia, and they were great comics then, and they're great comics now, and it's essentially. The Star Wars Rebels magazine 1 through 35, 37 and 39. Now, before you wonder, well, what happened to 36 and 38? Those two issues just had reprints of earlier issues, so nothing's been lost. And it also includes Star Wars Rebels Animation magazine 1 through 4. Earlier this year in the summer, Dark Horse, sent one copy to each comic book store via Diamond. Hey, we're back and thank you for all your support edition that, you know, it was a little bit of a truncated version of this book. So it wasn't quite 508 pages or 546 pages, but this book is out this week, you know, in bookstores and some comic book shops got their copy last week. So, you know, some people already have it, but it is a gorgeous book. It's not oversized, so it's easy to hold, it's easy to read, and it contains such amazing stories, you know, with the writers that include Martin Fisher, Jeremy Barlow, Alec Worley. Artists include Bob Molesworth, the incomparable Ingo Remling, Ava Weiderman, and of course Rory Coleman as well, and also Cosmo White. And these are just really good stories set, you know, in the Star Wars Rebels milieu. And just, they're fun. They're an incredible read. And the reproduction in the pages is just bananas good. And there is just so much great detail. Everybody is there.
It is. You know, I said I skimmed it, but I did read a little bit of it, and they are crackling good stories. It is very much in the vein of the series. So if you were a fan of Star Wars Rebels, I think you're really going to enjoy this. And there is one panel, and it's on, I can't even see what page this is. It's on page 166.
Well, let me scroll down to that.
You got to scroll down to it. But there is one panel of a ship. It's, I believe it's the Ghost. Looks straight up like it was out of the heavy metal movie.
Oh, yeah. This almost got like a Mobius vibe to it.
Yes. So. Isn't that cool?
That is a great, great panel. So, yeah.
And that's a random call out, but as I was scrolling through and skimming, I stopped it. It caught my eye and I saw it. I was like, that's great. I love it.
It is so good. It is just, you know, and it's a good, you know, you can get it. Like I said, you can get it at your local comic book shop. You'll be able to, you know, if you have a Barnes & Noble, you know, they should have a copy there. You can get it on Amazon as well. And it is totally worth your while. So even if you're not a fan of the TV show, you know, this is some really good stories here.
I look forward to diving in completely with it because, it, like I said, what little I was able to read of it this afternoon was really a lot of fun.
Oh, totally.
And I think it's great that they're giving this to us, since it was something that we wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So,
yeah.
Good, kudos to Dark Horse for that. It bodes well for what Dark Horse is going to do with the license when they finally start bestowing it upon us.
Which is not too far away, actually. It's next week.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on to Marvel for the week, we've got The Mandalorian issue number 2. And folks, you can pretty much go back and listen to our review of issue number 1 to hear all of our thoughts, because as far as I can tell, this is more of the same. We've got a tremendous looking cover, some great art on the inside, but it is a simple retelling of the episode. There's no additional footage, no nothing, and there are a couple of things, again, I love the art, but there's a couple of things that I don't feel like work as well or even at all in this that worked really well on the television series. When Mando is being attacked by the creature that he's trying to get the egg from, and Grogu reaches out and uses the Force on it, it doesn't really read to me. If I hadn't seen the episode, I wouldn't exactly know what was going on. You could infer, but it read a lot better in motion on the series to me.
No, I have to agree with you. And of course, this has been adapted by Rodney Barnes, you know, who's writing it. The pencils are by Georges Gentil. Carl Story is our inker. The color artist is Rochelle Rosenberg. The letterer is Virtual Calligraphy's Joe Caramagna. The cover you like so much is by Cara Andrews. And Marvel's gone whole hog with variant covers for this 8-issue maxi series. But this week's variants include Giuseppe Camuncoli and Alejandro Sanchez, Jim Chung and J. David Ramos, the Christian Alsman concept variant, which is essentially that's the concept art that we saw at the end of the show every episode. Mm-hmm. And then of course there's another one by Salvador La Roca and Guru EFX. The designer on the book is Carlos Lau. Assistant editor is Mikey J. Basso. Associate editor is Danny Kazem. Mark Benicia is the editor. C.B. Cebulski is our editor-in-chief. And, of course, this is based on the series created by Jon Favreau and written by Favreau, Dave Filoni, Christopher Yost, and Rick Famuyiwa. And then, of course, for Lucasfilm, we have Robert Simpson, our senior editor, Michael Siglain, our creative director, Troy Alders, the art director, Matt Martin, Pablo Hidalgo, Emily Schucani, and James Waugh from the Story Group. And Phil Shostak is the creative art manager. And, yeah, again, just like the first issue, you know, this is episode 2. And I know, because I read this as I watched episode 2, a.k.a. chapter 2, The Child. And it's not quite panel to panel, like you said, but, you know, it really does a great job of capturing the show. And Illustrative wise, it's a sumptuous piece of art. It's a sumptuous comic book. It's got great popping colors. I like how George and Carl draw Grogu, and then they also do a really good job with a lot of the equipment. Like, you know, the Jawa Sandcrawler is very impressive. I mean, there's a 2-page spread in here that, you know, where the Mandalorian finds the Jawas disassembling the Razor Crest. So, you know, and we get to meet Killy as well. And, it's an adaptation, you know, and if you are a Mandalorian super fan, then yeah, this is definitely for you. I will tell you this, you know, having read issue 2 of this, it made me watch all of season 1 again today. So,
well, it's never, that's never a bad thing.
No,
again, yeah, like I said, the art colors are great. The way that they've structured the story, I think, you know, it works. It's fine. But again, I don't understand the point. Well, I really don't.
Well, and again, as we've said before, it's, you know, I think it stems from the fact that, you know, when The Mandalorian first came out, you know, there were plans, you know, to have Mandalorian comic books, both from IDW and Marvel. And I think clearly, I think they were caught off guard by the success. And of course, you know, they wanted to, all right, well, let's see where this goes. And so, and given Star Wars fans, shall we say, checkered history with canon, I think they wanted to sort of, all right, let's just keep this, you know, in one lane, and, you know, we'll just do an adaptation. So, but, you know, it also harkens back to, you know, Marvel's history of doing adaptations. I mean, the 80s were replete with film adaptations of everything. I mean, Blade Runner got a 3-issue miniseries. Tarzan, you know, The Legend of Greystoke got an adaptation. The Last Starfighter got an adaptation. So, I mean, then again, you know, it's not unheard of. So, but yeah.
Not at all. I had Star Trek V, the comic adaptation of that, unfortunately.
Oh, I remember that. That was a good one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So again,
so, yeah, solid issue.
I don't want to, you know, I don't want to besmirch anybody's work here, because it is very good work. I just don't. I don't understand the point. I don't know what hole this fills. If you're someone who hasn't read hasn't seen the series, then sure, this is a great substitute for that. But again, at $5 an issue, that's a month of Disney Plus.
Almost, because they're raising prices. So
yeah.
No, but yeah, it's a nice companion piece.
I agree. That's a good way to put it. So that's our thoughts on The Mandalorian. We're going to take a short break, and we will be back to discuss Star Wars issue number 26, which has a terrific cover.
It does.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, Matt, Star Wars 26, what does this cover remind me of? On its surface, it reminds me of like those Gold Key comics from the 60s, like the Star Wars comics or Star Trek comics that were out in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
That had that sort of sketched quality to it. Is that what I'm seeing, or is there something else that I'm just not picking up on? Is there some other reference that I'm not picking up on?
No, I think that's a good reference, but I also like the way it's slanted. You know,
it's slanted, and I don't know if you noticed Leia and Luke's, but their holsters drop down into the white.
Yeah.
But the rest of them doesn't.
No. And I think that, you know, that's this cover will stand out on the comic book stands. Yes. Wednesday.
I really love this cover. The blue in the background is striking, and it's almost photorealistic images of Luke and Leia.
Yeah. Well, it's Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher. And of course, Luke's holding his yellow lightsaber. So, which, you know, again, you know, a lovely nod to the action figure.
Yes, I do like that a lot.
And of course, you know, we explored how he got that lightsaber earlier in the run. So, but yeah, and of course, this cover is by E.M. Gist, and he's got the covers for this one, and 27, 28, and I think he's got 29 as well.
That's so great. I really do like this cover.
They're so good. And of course he did all the main covers for the Halcyon Legacy miniseries as well. So
that's what it reminds me of too. That's the other reference I'm getting. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No. So and this is a new story arc, and as such we have a new artist on board, Andre Genelet, who I like a lot. And you know, it's a differing style, from Ramon Rosanas and others who have been on the book. But there's something to be said for Andre's style here. And if you read The Runaways or X-Men Red, the Miss Marvel Beyond the Limit, the Spider-Girls or X-Men Blue, then you're familiar with the work. It's
a bit cartoonish, and not in a bad way.
No, not in a bad way at all, but it's not over-the-top cartoonish either.
No, and it looks deceptively simple. When you're looking at it, you're not seeing a lot of the lines in it, but then when you start to really investigate it, you can see there's some really intricate work going on.
Oh, very much so, very much so. So, and of course, augmenting that work is the color artistry of Rochelle Rosenberg, and then Virtual Calligraphy's Clayton Coles is handling the letters. We already talked about EM's cover. The two variant covers include an action figure variant by John Tyler Christopher, as well as a Choose Your Destiny variant by Chris Sprouse, Carl Story, and Niraj Menon. And then, of course, the same crew. Mikey J. Basso is our assistant editor. Danny Kazem is our associate editor. Mark Benizia, our editor. C.B. Cebulski, our editor-in-chief. And then for Lucasfilm, we've got senior editor Robert Simpson, creative director Michael Siglane, art director Troy Alders, and from the story group, it's Matt Martin, Pablo Hidalgo, and Emily Shkukani. And then, of course, there's the creative art manager, Bill Shostak. So, and again, brand new art. We have finally turned the corner on Commander Zara, who may or may not be dead. So we will. You never say never in Star Wars. So
right,
unless they died in a movie, so then you know that they're dead. True. But we open up on Barleth in the Galactic Core. Now, of course, if you've been reading Dr. Aphra, you know what Barleth is, because that's the University of. So it is the Imperial Unity Day Parade. And a la Soviet Russia or yep. North Korea, in France, because France likes to have a big military parade every year as well. I believe it's for Bastille Day. If you are French and I am mistaken, please correct me. And essentially what we have here is we have the might of the Empire on display for the populace. Like you said, a little bit sort of almost cartoonish, but then you look and you realize, good Lord, the level of detail here, because we have a bunch of AT-ATs or AT-ATs. We have AT-STs, we have the walkers from Star Wars Rebels. Looks like we have a couple of, I see one walker that we saw in Solo, A Star Wars Story. You look to the left of the page, right below the TIE fighter, the self-propelled artillery walker.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you look to the right, you can see a four-legged walker that is evocative of the Clone Wars. And, we've got TIE defenders, regular TIE fighters. And it's interesting because there's at least two of them that we can see. Three.
There's two we see. There's one interceptor, and then I think, defender. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of fun stuff. There is a third one. You're right. There's a third one right off to the left.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And of course, we find out, what's going on here, because we cut to an interior panel of some Imperial officers. Hey, quite a display, isn't it? Indeed. Some of the new prototypes are incredibly impressive. And it's all being transmitted across the Holonet, too. Citizens all over the galaxy get to enjoy this moment. Then we cut down to the below panel, and there's the civilians. Oh, no, it can't be. I thought they were gone. And then you turn the page, and attack wing, this is Red Leader. Looks like we caught them with their pants down. We see the Falcon. We've got some A-wings, some Y-wings, X-wings. We've got a Nebulon B frigate. It looks like a Mon Calamari cruiser to the far right. And piloting the Falcon, of course, is Lando and Chewie. And, you got it, Wedge. After all, it's Imperial Unity Day. Wouldn't be much of a celebration without some fireworks.
As they blow one of the chicken walkers apart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And And then that's when the, you know, the officials in the balcony realize a rebel attack in the core. Palton, you told me the Alliance was all but defeated at the Battle of Hoth. Well, I can tell you I did my part. This failure belongs to someone else. So they're already
the Imperial way.
Yeah, and of course it's this great double page spread, and we've got, finally they realize, don't just stand there, we're under attack. Get our fighters in the air, return fire, shoot at them. Yes, sir, right away, General Palton. And then we see Luke. R2's picking up a wave of tides launching from that Imperial airbase just outside the city. Looks like we might have worn out our welcome, folks. Roger that, Red 5. And then, Luke says, I think we made our, I can't tell if it's Luke or it's Wedge saying this, but I think we've made our point. And then Wedge says, all the Alliance fighters on me. Lando, Chewbacca, that means you too. And Lando says, don't you worry, Wedge, this is the Millennium Falcon. You go on ahead, we'll catch up.
And of course, what do we see in this frame when he says, we'll catch up? This panel is maybe my favorite panel that I've seen in a long time.
I love it. And
Lobot in the gunner seat.
Yeah, I whooped. I hollered. It's like, woohoo!
That is awesome. It's not something you expected, and I just love it. It's such a great use of that character and letting us know that he is okay at the moment.
Yeah, very much so. And so this made me very, very happy to see him. So, if I remember serious, we didn't see him at all in Return of the Jedi, did we?
No, we did not. Yeah, we saw him in Empire, and that was it.
Yeah, you're right. So, I like that Charles Soule is showing Lobot a lot of love. So
it's nice to see some Lobot love. And of course they're taking off and they're realizing that our ties will never catch the rebel fighters in time. We didn't get off a single shot. He said, should we cut the holonet feeds, General? Deactivate the cam droids? And he looks around and he says, I think it's a bit late for that, as everything is just trashed.
Oh, and I kind of feel bad for him, but then again, I kind of don't. So, because why would I?
Yeah, right. Why would you? He's Imperial slime. And of course, they immediately get beset by, a couple of politicians. These terrorists attacked us out of nowhere. This Empire, you're supposed to be keeping us safe. He says, agreed. What are you going to do about it, Palton? He says, well, Secretary Osrond, Ambassador Gibbons, I need to make a call to Coruscant. The Emperor must be informed. I expect the conversation. He takes a big drink. He says, we'll be rather unpleasant. He'll be lucky if he gets out of it alive.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see Palton again. So, and then we turn the page, and we're back to the Rebel Alliance fleet, and we're in the landing bay. Let's hear it for the Rebel Alliance. Here, and the gang's all there. Lobot's there. Yvonne Verlaine is there. Leia is there. Chewie, Luke, everybody. I mean, and It's great. I don't know, it may just be me, but between Wedge and Lando, it looks like the Damerons are smooching.
Oh, I think so. I think definitely. Yeah.
So, and that's the thing that makes this issue so much fun now, is because this is for the first time in a long time we've seen the rebellion really notch a real victory. And it's palpable the way that Charles Soule has written this and the way it's been illustrated, because you see these, smiles on everybody's faces, and Leia's, this is amazing. And, and Luke responds, we've earned it. It's been a long time since we had a solid win. Not a single casualty. You planned one heck of a mission, Leia. And then he goes, well, I'm going to head out, though. I've got some reading to do. It's just that book you found? Yeah, it's full of the most incredible stuff. I can't stop thinking about it. Even just holding it makes me feel more connected to the Force. Then there's Yvonne. Hey, Skywalker, let's see it. Come on, Yvonne, not again. Makes me feel like a show-off. Well, it makes us feel like we can't lose, like we've got the light on our side. So get over yourself, Mr. Big Deal Jedi, and give us some of that magic. Or do I have to get it myself? And, of course, we get an insight. All right, you've made your point. He pulls out his lightsaber and he ignites it. Well, look at that, Yvonne says. Magic. And you can, if you look throughout that panel, everyone's watching it. Because they're I don't want to say they're awestruck, but they're clearly, it's like, whoa. Because, for a lot of them, this is only something they've heard about.
Right. Or only seen maybe one time before when he whipped it out the last time.
Yeah.
And so from there, we cut to a meeting, and we get some familiar faces here. We have Admiral Ackbar telling General Organa says, congratulations on a successful mission. And she says, thank you. I appreciate your willingness to risk our people and ships on a mission so deep in enemy territory. And Mon Mothma says, its value is obvious, Leia. And I like this. She says, the galaxy hasn't seen significant activity from the Rebel Alliance in months. We've been on the run since Hoth. The Imperial Propaganda Office outright claimed victory over us, but now we bloodied the Empire's nose in a very public way with careful regard for civilian safety. That attack was transmitted to the entire galaxy. Freedom-loving people will know we are not gone, we're not cowed, and the fight goes on. And Leia makes a point. She says, this war will not be won in one decisive battle. The Empire's got too many ships and too many soldiers. Says we'll win over an endless series of tiny fights, small acts of defiance by people everywhere who just want to be free. So the Rebel Alliance is smaller than the Empire, but the galaxy is bigger than any Empire ever could be.
And of course, also we also want to point out here that, you know, in addition to Akbar and Mothma and Leia, we have General Hera Syndulla
and Commodore Grek, who I'm is just a comics character, but yeah, Hera is there. And Commodore Grek says, all very inspiring, but I'd like the Alliance to be at least a little bigger.
To which Hera replies,
Hera says he's got a
Commodore
point.
Grek.
Yeah, he's got a point. We lost a lot of our connections while we were trying to pull the fleet back together after Hoth. And Akbar agrees. He says, we need to reestablish contact with our intelligence assets and rebuild our supply lines. He says, a base would be helpful, as well as many of our ships need refitting after what they've been through. And this is where Leia brings up the fact that she's been in contact with Lady Kira of Crimson Dawn, and she's offered to help with our supply chain issues. And Mon Mothma says, can we trust her? And Leia, I love this. She says, let's put it this way. I think we can use her. Kira seems to hate the Empire as much as we do, and she and I have mutual friends. I put Amelin Holdo in charge of setting up the deals. If we can't trust Kira, well, Holdo will make sure she pays the price. And after The Last Jedi, I believe that she could do it.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. I agree. And then, you know, then Grek says, all right, spies, supplies, a place to lay our heads. Then what? What's our next step? And Akbar, ever the strategist, strategic disruption. More missions like the Unity Day attack. Very public, where we can use our strength to maximum effect. We want the galaxy to see the Empire is vulnerable. That will bring more systems to our cause.
I just want to pause for a second. That is a remarkable Admiral Akbar impersonation, Matt.
Thank you.
I didn't know you had that in your repertoire. That's good.
I always liked Admiral Akbar.
Oh, everybody loves Admiral Akbar. It's weird seeing him head on like that, though. This the way that the artist has drawn him here, he's head on to us, and so you don't see any of like the shape of his head, and so he looks even weirder than usual. And I've never seen him from that angle, and I love it. And of course, the Commodore says, sounds like a slow road, and Mon Mothma says, the slower the better. The longer we're out here fighting in the entire galaxy, knowing the Empire can't stop us, the better. He says, don't worry, we've got nothing but time. Which is not something you're used to hearing from the Rebels.
No.
And this reminded me of Rogue One, which I just want to let everybody know in case you missed it. Rogue One is going to be back in theaters, in IMAX theaters, on August 26th. As far as I know, it's one night only. So if you have an IMAX theater near you, start checking the listings to see when tickets are on sale, because they're apparently going to be a sneak preview of Andor either before or after.
Can't wait. I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to go. Because, of course, you know me. I love Rogue One. So.
Oh, yeah, me too. Saw it right back around Christmas when they did that, the surprise $5 screening or whatever. So that was fun. From there, we cut to Imperial Black Facility, codename Second Sun. And I'm ashamed to say it took me until the end of the issue to realize where we were.
Oh, see, not me. I knew.
Well, I'm sure. And that's why I felt stupid, because I was like, oh, wait, they're, oh, Second Sun. They're on Death Star 2, folks.
See, my giveaway was, you know, when, you know, we
have
that
Jared.
First, yeah, when we had that first speech balloon.
And that should have put it together then as well. I felt like Chaz Palminteri at the end of The Usual Suspects when he's putting everything together. only dumber. Felt like dumb Chaz Palminteri is what I felt like. That will be my new Twitter handle, dumb Chaz Palminteri. Moff Jared has been beset by Major Sharon, is an officer in the Imperial Security Bureau. He says, you've undoubtedly interrupted my work here in relation to a matter of security. And I love it. She's just not having any of it. She says, your attempt to lighten the mood will be included in my report to Emperor Palpatine, Jared. The Rebel Alliance attacked a Unity Day parade on Barleth. He says, oh, I had not heard. This location is isolated from most of the Imperial Holonet channels. Standard policy here for security purposes, and it sounds like he's still trying to be a smartass here. Which made me laugh, and I love the way that she's drawn here. She's just, you can see her just gritting her teeth. And she says, your standard policies are the reason I'm here. In light of the vaunted Commander Zara's evident failure to destroy the Rebel fleet, the Emperor sent me to review security procedures at all the Black facilities. I decided to begin with you. He says, I'm honored. He says, don't be focused and comprehensive. Tell me about every last measure you have put in place to keep the location safe and secret, and then we'll discuss adjustments. And the way that Jared is drawn in that panel, we were just talking about this art style being, you know, being sort of deceptively simple, but looks exactly like the actor who played him in the movie.
It does, doesn't it?
If you didn't know, if you hadn't heard his name, you would know just from that angle and that panel who it is, because it looks just like him.
Yep. Yes, it does. And of course, he introduces Sharon. This is my aide, Lieutenant Mellon. Go over our security procedures for Major Sharon here, will you? Yes, sir, of course. Oh, we keep a tight lid on communications, of course. All incoming and outgoing transmissions are approved, logged, and secured with a unique code that changes twice per day. Any communications sent outside that protocol are automatically flagged and traced. All our supplies are brought in via dead drops, delivered to secure locations, and picked up by our personnel and brought back here. None of the delivery pilots knows the final location where the supplies end up. And that's a definite nod to what happened in the events of Rogue One.
Right.
Our staff at all levels, from maintenance to the officers, are assigned here for the duration of the project. No leave, no secondary assignments. Many of them even brought their families. Once you come here, you don't leave. Not until the project is complete. And then she says, that can't be all. No, Major, it's not. We also employ a robust staff of internal security personnel, droid surveillance, and other measures. Bounties are offered for reporting transgressions of any kind. Everything from hygiene violations to more serious issues. Everyone is always watching everyone else. We all believe in the project and would gladly report anything that might cause problems. And of course, just the look, this smug look on Gerard's face. Are you satisfied, Major? We need this place locked down, I assure you. We are running slightly behind schedule to be expected on a project of this scale, but security, no, we're good on that front. I've heard a list of procedures read to me by your aide, Gerard, and I haven't yet seen how or whether they are implemented. I'll stay to observe, and then I will prepare my report for the Emperor, she said as she walks away. And then Gerard looks at Milton as if we don't have enough work to do. Keep an eye on her while she's here, Melton. I don't want any surprises. Yes, Commander Gerard, of course. You see, Gerard
goes back, yeah, sinks in the chair. And again, I didn't realize who this was until later.
The way he just captures that sort of middle management feel.
Yeah.
All right, take a moment, center yourself. And back to work we go. Oh. Look of surprise on his face, and you turn the page, and then we cut to, you know,
a loading crew of some sort.
Yeah, great, great loader too. I love the wheels on this thing.
Yeah, so looks great, and they're finishing up their day, and the crew chief, I guess, says, you know, that's a day's work. We're going to knock off 2 minutes early. If the officer's giving you trouble about it, you can send it to me. So you see you at the bar later, Bevelin, which it's a Star Warsiest name. Bevelin. It's just, I don't know for sure, unless they send me out of an airlock for insubordination, it's a pretty safe bet. If not, I'll see you guys tomorrow bright and early. So clearly she's kind of the crew chief. So she heads back home and she walks in and there's someone sitting there, and this is Melton, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He comes in, he says, hi, Bev. Good day at work. And again, I didn't realize it at first. And then I was like, oh, okay, that's why. She goes, same as ever, move some crates from over here to over there. You all right, babe? You look like hell, which is just what you want to hear. I says, I'm all right, just a long day. Push some data from over here to over there. And he hugs her and says, we need to talk. And she says, I'm going to go take a shower. And he says, sure, I'll start working on dinner. And then she stops and says, what's up? He says, well, I got a message from my Auntie Q. And I love that she just means, she says, you mean Kira? John, if they find us, they'll find us. And we'll tell them everything we know. Might as well speak plainly. It's good to know that they're going to resist any kind of torture. He says, fair enough. Kira got a message crew hidden inside an Imperial Navy propaganda holo. I don't know how, but I guess that's why she runs Crimson Dawn. She's activating its non-specific order. She just wants us to cause chaos, mess things up for the Empire. That's what she said. How we do it is up to us. And Bev says, well, she must have something big in mind. Did she say anything else? It's only that this is it. Everything she's been working toward all this time. It's about to go down, a better galaxy for everyone. She said that anything we can do would help. And so Bev says, we're literally standing in one of the biggest secrets the Empire's got. Seems like something the Rebel Alliance ought to know about. He says, I know that was my first thought too, but we can't just send the Rebels a note. I can't even respond to Kira's message without triggering security flags. we'd have to go get out past the security cordon if we get caught trying and they have a knowing look at one another. It's just so if we did this, how could we? He says, I've already got it. I already think I've got a way. It's not about could we, it's should we, knowing the risks. And I love this. She says, look, we started working with Kira because we didn't like where the Empire was headed. Everything Palpatine's done the past few years has proven that this is the right call, this place more than anything. But still, this would be risking everything. And at this point, I'm thinking, well, these can't be the two that get the plans back to them because they're not Bothan spies.
No, they're not.
And if you recall, many Bothans died. So I think we're going to see some Bothan bloodshed. Ooh, maybe that's the title of the next story arc. Bothan blood. That would be awesome. He says, well, and I, like he has a great speech here. He says, I think every once in a while, life gives you a moment to test your notions about who you think you actually are, not just the things you tell your others or yourself, but a chance to pare everything else away and lay yourself bare, look yourself right in the eye. I think this is one of those. He says, so Bevelin, my life, my love, and my heart, are we part of the Empire, this machine of death and despair that and fear that it's become? And she completes his thought, or are we something else? And I think we both know what they're going to decide.
I think it's sort of obvious.
Right. And in case you didn't, we get to it pretty quickly because we cut back and this efficiency expert, which is what I'll call her, Major, is actually kind of impressed. She tells Jared, you run a tight ship. He says, thank you, Major. As I expected, there's a great deal of work yet to be done on the project, but it will be completed on time. I trust you found nothing awry in your inspection, Major Shara. And she says, I will admit, Moff Jajarid, that I enter into one of these assignments expecting the worst, but in this case, I have no doubt, Director. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to move on to my next assignment. There was a troubling incident at Mount Possval that requires investigation. Do we know what that is?
Yes, we do. This was part of the first arc of Darth Vader Volume 2 from 2017, also by Charles Soule.
Okay. I knew it was something that was probably a reference to something we'd seen. I just couldn't remember.
Well, it's where he went to fight. The Jedi's name is Kirak Enfila.
Right.
Remember
the old guy. Yeah.
Yeah, because he had taken the Barash vow, and you know, right. So he had disconnected himself from the Jedi Order. It's almost like, you know, it's like a form of punishment, but also self-punishment, but also a chance for, you know, deeper philosophical meditation and realization. And this is how Vader got his lightsaber crystal. To replace the lightsaber he held as Anakin.
Right.
And if you'll recall, it was, Vader flooded the entire valley.
Right, that was what I remembered. Yeah, because the Jedi was trying to hold the water back, and he just flooded the whole thing, right?
No, so that was the first arc of Darth Vader, 20 out of 2017.
That's what I thought. So the Major gets on board the shuttle. She says, okay, we're all set. Set a course for Al-Dolim. And then we close in on her eyes. She says, wait, you're not my pilot. And Bev turns up behind her and says, no, he's not. And just cracks her neck, snaps her neck.
Yep.
And she says, go, John. He says, you don't have to tell me twice. Check on the kids. And this is where we see why they've had such an issue with whether or not to do this, why they were debating it so much. They have a son and a daughter. And the girl says, what's going on, Mommy? And the boy says, this is scary. She says, don't be scared, kids. We're just going on a little trip. It's going to be okay.
And this is
going to be okay as we see the shuttle taking off from the Death Star.
Death Star 2. I love it. And it's such a great page.
It is. Ladies, that reveal, if you hadn't figured it out by now, this is the ultimate reveal. And, what a great issue.
Yeah, this is going to be a hell of a story arc. Now, here's the thing. I don't think we're going to see the Bothans. I just don't. But, we'll see, though. We'll find out. You know, it's because, you know, you never know. And, of course, you know, I have been on record multiple times saying that's the one story I really want to see is, you know, how they got these plans for the second Death Star delivered to the Rebellion.
Right. I guess we need a Rogue 2 movie is what we really need.
That would be nice. I'm sure Gary Whitta could probably put one together for us. So.
Oh, I'm sure he could. It'd be a lot of fun. I would be down for that. But yeah, really, really great book. Like you said, I can't wait to see what's going to happen. I really can't wait to see the next cover. I purposely didn't look at it at the end of this book because I want to wait and see when it comes out, whenever it does come out. So yeah, really, really a lot of fun. What have we got for next week that we'll be discussing?
Like I said, according to Penguin Random House, the Crimson Rain trade paperback is coming out August 23rd. And then on August 24th, which is a Wednesday, we get Dr. Aphra number 23, Darth Vader number 26, and from Dark Horse Comics, Star Wars Hyperspace Stories number 1 of 12.
Oh, nice. That'll be fun.
Yeah, so it'll be nice to see the Dark Horse logo on a Star Wars comic again.
Yes, very much so. Always enjoyed the Dark Horse books when they were publishing them. So I'm excited to see them back.
Very much.
We will be back next week to discuss those and anything else that happens between now and then. I'm sure something will happen, probably an hour after the show drops.
Exactly. That's usually how it happens.
Yeah. So we'll be back then to discuss. Until next time, for Star Wars Splash Page, I'm Jeff.
And I am still Matt.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.
The Star Wars Splash Page theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook.
Stop peeing!